The last poem of the book, which is the title poem, Crime Against Nature, is a long poem. It has 6 parts. You should move around in your seat a little if you're feeling. I know. Okay, the first part. The upraised arm, fist clench, ready to hit, fist clenched and cocked, ready to throw a brick, a rock, a Coke bottle. When you see this on TV, robbers and cops, or people in some foreign alley, is the rock in your hand? Do you shift and dodge? Do you watch the story twitch in 5 kinds of color while you eat Doritos, drink beer? The day's paper sprawled at your feet, supplies bought at the 7-Eleven where no one bothered you? Or maybe he did. All depends on what you look like, on if you can smile, crawl, keep your mouth shut. Outside the store, I, as usual, could not believe threat meant me, hated by 4 men making up the story of their satiated, hot Saturday night and what they said at any woman to emerge brash as a goddess from behind smoky glass. How they won if she would not bend her eyes or laugh by one thrusting question, broke her in half, a bitch in heat, a devil with teeth for a cunt. What's wrong with you, girl? The grin, gibe, chant. What's the matter? Split the concrete under her feet, send her straight to hell, the prison pit fire, blast her nasty self. You some kind of dyke? Sweating, damned if I'd give them the last say, hissing into the mouth of the nearest face. Yes, hand jumped to car door, metal slam of escape. As he raised his hand, green bomb of a bottle, I flinched, arm over my face, split second, wait for the crash and shards of glass. His nod instead, satisfied he'd frightened me back down into whatever place I'd slid from. Laughter quaked the other men. At me, a she-dog queer enough to talk. At him, tricked by a stone-faced drag woman stealing his punchline, astonished as if a rock had come to life in his hand and slashed him. He dropped his hand, nodded like he'd won. Slammed into my car, I drove away, mad, ashamed. All night I seethed, helpless. The scene replayed, slow motion film until I heard my yes and the dream violence cracked with laughter. I was shaken out on the street where my voice reared up her snout, unlikely as a black snake racing from a drain, fire spitting, whistling like a siren, one word, yes. And the men, balanced between terror and surprise, laugh as the voice rolls like a hoop snake, tail in her mouth, obscure spinning blur, quiet howl, a mouth like a conjuring trick, a black hole that swallows their story and turns it inside out. For a split second, we are all clenched, suspended, upraised fist, approving hoots, my inverted ending. 2. The ones who fear me think they know who I am. A devil's in me, or my brain's decayed by sickness. In their hands, the hard shimmer of my life is dimmed. I become a character to fit into their fictions, someone predictable, tragic, disgusting, or pitiful. If I'm not to burn or crouch in some sort of cell, at the very least, I should not be let near children. With strangers, even one with upraised fisted hand, I blame this on too much church or TV sci-fi, me cast as a mutant sexual rampage, Godzilla Satan, basilisk eyes, scorching phosphorescent skin, a hiss of words, deadly if breathed in. But what about my mother or the man I lived with years? How could they be so certain I was bad and they were not? They knew the girl, baby fat and bloody from the womb, the woman swollen stomached with two pregnancies. My next body shift, why did it shake them? Breasts full for no use but a rush of pleasure, skin tightened, loosened, nipples, genitals gleaming red with unshed blood. I left certainty for body, place of mystery. They acted as if I'd gone to stand naked in a dirty room, to spin my skin completely off, turn and spin, come off skin until under loomed a thing, scaly sin, needle teeth like poison knives, a monster in their lives who'd run with the children in her mouth like a snake steals eggs. I've never gotten used to being their evil, the woman, the man who held me naked, little and big. No explanation except the one who tells the tale gets to name the monster. In my version, I've never gotten used to being their evil, the woman, the man, who held me naked, little and big. No explanation except the one who tells the tale gets to name the monster. In my version, I walk to where I want to live. They are there winding time around them like grave clothes, rotten shrouds, the living dead winding me into a graveyard future. Exaggeration, of course. In my anger, I turn them into a late-night horror show. I've left out how I had no job for pay. He worked for rent and groceries. My mother gave me her old car. But they abhorred me, my inhuman shimmer, the crime of moving back and forth between more than one self, more than one end to the story. 3. The hatred baffles me, individual, doctrinal, codified, the way she pulled the statute book down like a novel off the shelf, flipped to the index, her lacquer red lips glib around the words, crime against nature, and yes, he had some basis for threat. I've looked it up to read the law since. Should I be glad he only took my children? That year the punishment was not less than 5, nor more than 60 years. For my methods, indecent and unnatural, of gratifying a depraved and perverted sexual instinct, for even the slightest touching of lips or tongue or lips to a woman's genitals, that means any delicate sip, the tongue trail of saliva like an animal track quick in the dew, a mysterious path toward the gates, little and big, or per annum and per os. A pause at the riddle, how tongue like a finger rolls grit into a jewel of flesh, how finger is like tongue, another forbidden gesture, and tongue like a snake, bestial is in the statute. Winding through salty walls, the labyrinth, curlicue, the underground spring, rocks that sing, and the cave with an oracle yelling at the bottom, certainly depraved. All from the slightest touch of my lips, which can shift me and my lover as easily into a party on the lawn, sipping limeade, special recipe, sprawled silliness, a little gnawing on the rind. The law, when I read it, didn't mention teeth. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will someday if one of us gets caught with the other nipping. 4. No one says crime against nature when a man shotguns 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or more of his children, and usually his wife, and maybe her visiting sister. But of the woman who jumps 12 floors to her death, no ID but a key around her neck, and in the apartment, her cold son in a back room, dead on a blanket. Some are quick to say she was a fraud hiding in a woman's body. Some pretend to be judicious and give her as an example of why unmarried sluts are not fit to raise children. But the truth is, we don't know what happened. Maybe she could not imagine another ending because she was dirt poor, alone, had tried everything. Or she was a queer who hated herself by her family's name, crooked. Maybe she killed the child because she looked into the future and saw her past. Or maybe some man killed the boy and pushed her, splayed, out the window, no one to grab, nothing to hide but the key between her breasts, so we would find the child and punish the killer. The iron key warm, then cooling against her skin, her memory, the locked room. She left a clue. We don't know her secret. She's not here to tell the story.